Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zorah, Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Nunhei, you will notice about 6 lines from the top a word in a bow tie form. This is one of our geometric markings that indicates a series of whatever. In addition to that, you'll also notice that we're in the middle of a Tanaic source that began on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. And you can see this is all part of a frame. The upper part of the frame is open because it's a continuation of that which started on the previous Amid. In our previous shiur, we also discussed the nature of these geometric forms. And just to quickly review, the bow tie represents a series of questions and tamihos, points of wonder, amazement, regarding idolatry. So with that in mind, we're going to continue in the series of questions that are raised regarding idolatry. Shoal Agrippus Sar Tzava es Ramumliel. This Agrippus is a Gentile who lived during the time of Agrippus HaMelech. He is a military officer, and he asked Rav Gamliel, "Ksiv b'Torah, it says in your Torah, ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochla, hu Keol Kano, that the Almighty is a God of fire and is a jealous God. Klum miskani ela chacham b'chacham, v'gibor b'gibor, v'oshir b'oshir. The nature of things is that when one is jealous, that one is jealous of someone like himself." In other words, a wise man is, generally speaking, jealous of another wise man, and a warrior, that it would be jealous of someone like himself, another warrior, or a wealthy individual, will be jealous of another wealthy individual. How could it be, then, that the Almighty is jealous of a non-entity like an idol? Omar lo, so Rabbi Gamliel answers, I will offer you an analogy. To what may this be compared? A man who was already married and decided to take a second wife. If the second woman is more important, more illustrious than the first wife, then the original wife, the first wife, will not be jealous of her. Of the second wife, she will realize that her husband had a legitimate interest in someone more preferable, someone greater than the first woman. However, p'husa mimena, if a person took as a second wife, as an additional wife, a woman who is less than the first wife, miskaneba, then she will be, jealous or enraged. So in the same context here, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the Almighty, feels a sense of outrage that people turn from him to non-entities like idols. Omar Le, another story, Zunin, this is a Jewish fellow, and it's his name, he says to Rabbi Kiva, so Zunin addresses Rabbi Kiva, Libi Libcha Yoda Davidis Kechavim Les Bo Mashosha. Both I and you know that idolatry has no substance to it. But nevertheless, we perceive Gavri, people, the Azli, Ki Misbri, that go when they are broken-limbed, the Osu, Ki Mitzmidi, and they exit, they leave the idol healed. My time, how can that be explained? Omerlo, Em Sholcha Moshe, I will provide to you an analogy. Lemaha Dover Deime, Laodom Neamon. Can this be compared to a person who is a trustworthy individual, Shoya Be'ir, in a city, a well-known, trustworthy individual, someone maybe like a notary. The Chol B'nei Iro Hoyu Mafkidin Etzlo Shelo Be'edim. He was so trustworthy that people would entrust their money or their valuables with him, even without any witnesses. relying on his his honesty that he'll return whatever was entrusted to him. One fellow came along and entrusted to this Ish Ne'amon, this notary, entrusted some items with him in the presence of witnesses. Once this individual had the practice of entrusting to him with witnesses, he once entrusted some items to with the trustworthy fellow without witnesses. Amra lo ishto. So now the wife of the owner of the items says, bo v'nichbarenu. Let us correct ourselves. The wife of the trustworthy person says to her husband, the notary, she says to him, let's deny that he ever gave us anything. After all, up till now, this guy has always been entrusting to you with witnesses. And as a result of that, we couldn't have possibly denied. The witnesses would always testify that you received things from him. However, on this occasion, he entrusted things to you without witnesses. Let us deny that you ever received anything from him and make off with the goods. All my law. So the husband, this trustworthy man, says, because this fool did acted improperly. Should we lose our trustworthiness? Afkach isurim. So the analogy. Rabbi Akiva goes on to say, so too it is with the isurim, the troubles that afflict an individual. When troubles are sent upon a person to afflict him, these troubles are bound by an oath. They are instructed to not to depart the individual who is being afflicted until a specific date. Let's go over that again. So they're not to afflict him until a certain date, and they're not to depart from him until a certain date. And in other words, everything is delineated to the yisurim, to the troubles. Elo b'yom ploni, we said, u'b'shah plonis, and at a very specific hour, the al yaday ploni, and you will exit from him through the intervention of so and so, the al yaday sam ploni, and through such and such medicine. When the time for the Yisurim arrived to exit, the afflicted individual just happened to go to a place of idolatry. So the Yisurim, now knowing that the hour for their departure has arrived, and they now have to figure, dinhu shelo netze. Technically, we ought not to leave. Because if we do leave, it'll create this impression that the departure is a result of the idol. So technically, we ought not to leave. The chosen v'yomrim, and then they say, then they say, because this fool goes to an idol and does that which is improper, we should lose our oath. In other words, our trustworthiness to the fact that we were bound by oath not to depart until this particular time. Now that this hour has arrived, we have to depart to maintain our trustworthiness to the original oath. And even though it may result in people thinking that there's some power to the idol, nevertheless, it is in our own interest to maintain our reliability, just like we saw in the Moshal to the trustworthy person, that it wasn't worth it to him to lose his trustworthiness. And based on what we just learned, we can understand what Rabbi Yochanan says regarding a pasuk. V'choloyim ro'im v'ne'emonim. Pasuk is describing choloyim, or sicknesses, or ailments that are bad and trustworthy. Ro'im b'shlichuson. Their mission is bad. In other words, they are sent to afflict an individual. V'ne'emonim b'shvosan. And they are also trustworthy with regard to the oath that through which they were bound to afflict the person, when to arrive and when to depart. Omale, another story. Omale Rovo bar Rav Yitzchok l'Rav Yehuda. Rovo says to Rav Yehuda, Ho'ika beis avodas kachovim ba'asrin, there is a house of idol worship in our community, the Chimitzrich Alma Lemitra, when the world needs rain. Mischazi luhu bechilmo v'yoma luhu, the idol appears to the people in a dream and says to them, Shachatu li gavra v'aisi mitra, slaughter a person to me, and I will bring rain. Shachatu lo gavra, the community slaughters a man, v'aisi mitra, and rain comes. Amazing. So this is what Rava was posing as a challenge to Rav Yudah. Can you explain that? Amar lei. So Rav Yudah responds, Hashtu ihavu shechivna lo amri lechu ho milso de amarav. If I would have been dead, I wouldn't be able to tell you the following point that Rav says. Mai dichtiv. The pasuk says, Asher cholak Hashem elokecha oisam lechol ha'amim. Melamed, this pasuk teaches us, shehichlikon bidvorim, that he lets them make a mistake. He will create situations that will enable people to make a mistake, kidei letordon min ha'olam, so as to cast them out, so as them to lose credit, so to speak, and be cast out of the world. V'hainu d'yomer Reish Lakish, mai dichtiv. Based on what we just said, Reish Lakish teaches that this posuk, what does it refer to? Bo letamei posuno, a person who decides to choose the path of wrong, of impurity, literally the path of of that which is incorrect. Posuno, the door is open, so to speak. Shamayim, heaven does not intervene and stop a person from choosing evil. Baal Natayr, if a person chooses to purify himself, chooses to pursue good, and oftentimes the pursuit of good entails a great deal of challenge. So when one wants to choose the path of good, the path of that which is correct, Messiah or so, there heaven will intervene and help him out. In the same vein, the world has situations in it that if one is not very attuned to emunah and faith in God, there are enough circumstances that could lead one astray, could lead one to make a mistake, and God does not intervene. If a person wants to choose to believe that which is false, heaven does not intervene. One is given that option. We call that Bechira Chofshis, free will. And in the course of time, one who chooses the incorrect path will have to Yitain Esadin, will have to give accountability. At this point, we encounter a Mishnah that really represents a point in the Perek. From this point onwards, until the end of the Perek, and that one can see appears on Daf Samach Aleph on the base. From this point onwards, the Gemara will be involved with issues concerning wine and Gentiles. Loikhin gas beuta min ha'ove kechavim. Beuta has to do with trampling. Gas is a place that grapes are gathered in their early stages of wine production. So we're describing a place where grapes are accumulated and trampled. One is allowed to purchase from a Gentile a gas buto, we'll call them trampled grapes, that were trampled by the Gentile. Even though the Gentile takes from the pile of grapes that he's working on, that he's trampling, he takes them by hand and puts them on the tapuach. Rashi says, "V'nosin l'tapuach asifas gal huanovim shetachas hakura," the collection of grapes that are piled up. Tapuach would be a pile of grapes that are piled up under a heavy beam. That's kori tapuach, ubalaz shak. And in another tongue, it's referred to as a shak. V'kosovar tana didon lo havi yayinesech ad shiei lebor. And this tana is of the opinion that wine does not get the classification of wine, and hence it is not classified as yayin nesach, as forbidden wine, until the liquid is accumulates in the bor. The bor is a pit in which, after the grapes are squeezed or trampled and pressured, the juices that come out of them eventually flow into a pit. Only in that pit, in the bor, will they, according to this Mishnah, get the title of yayin. And if you're dealing with Gentiles, then and only then could it be labeled as yayin nesech. Prior to that, it has a din of non-wine, and hence it is allowed. And that's what the Mishnah says, that it's we're talking about purchasing a gas buta, even though the grapes there have been handled by hand by the Gentile and placed in the pile under the beam. Eino ose yayinesech ad shiyeri dibor. The Mishnah maintains that it doesn't become classified as yayinesech, as the forbidden wine, until it gets into the pit. Yorad labor, if the liquids then enter the pit, mashi bebor osur, that which is in the pit is forbidden. Vashar muter, the wine or the juices that have not yet arrived in the pit is allowed. Let's take a look at the Rashi, because the Mishnah establishes that which is in the pit is forbidden, but the Rashi adds, im noga bo ho'ivikachovim acharei hein, if only if the Gentile touched it, handled it, came into contact with it after it's in the bor. But if you have a situation that the juices were flowing from the pressed grapes, and the Gentile was trampling the grapes, handling the grapes, while it was still before it reached the bor, and the juices accumulated in the bor, and in the meantime the Gentile did not touch the juices that are in the pit, the wine that's in the pit would be okay, would be allowed. Continuing in the Mishnah, Dorchen im ho'ivik kechovim bagas. A Jew is allowed to trample the wine, the grapes, with a Gentile in the gas, the area of the wine press. Avol, the Mishnah on the top of Nun Hamud Beis continues and says, Avolo botzrin imo, but a Jew is not allowed to harvest grapes together with him. Let us take a look at the Rashi on Omid Aleph. At the end of the Rashi is on Omid Aleph. He says, Dorchin im ho'ivik kechovim bagas, v'loy amrinon, and we don't say mistaker v'isuri hano, that the Jew is going to profit from forbidden substances. Who the afilu b'shtia sover haitana d'shori kozman shelo yorad labor. This Tana is of the opinion that the juices that flow from the grapes while they're being trampled, while they're being pressed, as long as it hasn't reached the bor, those juices are mutter to even drink, not only to sell. Umishum goreim tumo leko, and as far as another consideration that one might have risen to forbid this trampling with him, namely that he is causing them to become impure, to become tome, that also is a non-consideration. Shemisha shedorach b'nevikachovim me'at nitmu. From the point that the Gentiles started trampling them, at that point they, the grapes, and all the material there became tome. So I'm not contributing to that by my helping him out. Once the goy started the process, I can come in later and not encounter this particular problem of being metame taharos. Umishum misaya yedei ovrei avero leko, and as far as another consideration that one is viewed as helping sinners, there's no concern about that. The Gentiles are not commanded to make sure that their produce remains tohor. If, however, you're dealing with someone that is commanded to maintain purity with regard to your produce, I would not be allowed to help someone who is commanded and yet is lax with regard to that, because then I'm helping someone who is a sinner. I'm helping someone who is lax with regard to something he's commanded in. I would not be allowed to assist him. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yisrael Shehu Oisa Betuma. It might be advisable, actually, before we continue with the Mishnah, to glance at the Rashi at the top, which spoke about a restriction of harvesting grapes with the Gentile. Lefi, Rashi says, Shenoisnim Begas Tamea, because the grapes are placed in the gas, which is tummy. The gas is that area in which the grapes are trampled or pressed. So I would be, in effect, taking tohar grapes, the Jew who is harvesting together with the Gentile, the Jew would be taking grapes that are tohar and placing them in the gas, placing them in this pressing site, the goreim tuma hu, and I, by the Jew, by placing the grapes that you take off the plants, which are tohar, and then you place them in the gas, which is tomei, I'm causing them to become tomei. Shenisinoson lagas l'shem dricha hu, because I'm placing the grapes in the press area for the purpose of being pressed. Udrichoson titamon, and the trampling of them will cause them to become tamei. However, v'koidem dricha v'alei lo mekabli tuma, d'stama lo huchshru. Before they're actually trampled, though, they are not susceptible to receiving tuma, because they haven't received hechsher yet. Hechsher means that they've become wet through a substance that I want. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Yisrael Shehu Oiseh Betuma. Let us talk in this case about a Jew who is not careful with the tuma and tara of his fruits. In other words, he's not diligent in maintaining their purity. Well, with someone like that, lo dorchin, we don't press grapes, velo botzrin imo, and we don't harvest together with him. Avo malichin imo chovios legas, however, one is allowed to transport empty barrels to a pressing site. Umavian imoi minagas, and to carry away with him full barrels of wine from the pressing site. Once the fellow who was not careful was mitameit, so once it's now all tome, there's no avera in my carrying away with him barrels of tome wine. Nachtoim is a baker, shehu oise betuma, who prepares the dough in a state of uncleanness, in a state of tuma. Loi loshin velo orchin imoi. One is not allowed to knead dough with him, or orchin has to do with set up the forms of the bread, to shape the bread, because the kneading and the shaping of the bread would be done in sin. After all, he's commanded to maintain tara, that they should remain clean, and he violates it. I cannot help a person in his action of sin. Avol molichin imo pas lepalter. However, I'm allowed to help transfer the baked bread. According to Rashi, we might be a little more specific. Is lepalter sheoife es apas. I'm allowed to bring the formed loaves. In other words, as long as I don't participate in their formation, once they're already formed, I can bring the loaves to the one who will put them in an oven. Omar Ravuna, Yayin kevon shehischu limoshech oise yayin nesech. Ravuna opens up with a halacha that would seem to be at odds with that which we learned in the Mishnah, that something becomes classified as yayin as soon as the juices start to flow from the grapes. In other words, Rav Huna does not make mention of the juices reaching the bor. At a much earlier point in the wine production, according to Rav Huna, the liquids take on the din of wine. As a result of that, the handling of the juices at that early point, that namely the pre-bor point, would make the juices susceptible to becoming yayin nesach, on the occasion that a goy would come along and handle it. Tanan, we have a triangle here, and in fact we have a few triangles following. The note on the side entails a nose, mivne, heading, a topic and structural note combined. We see a triangle there. Kushios al Rav Huna. The triangles represent kashis on Rav Huna. Shomer dayin. Tiyayin ki moshis li moshech. Afilu lifnei shemagi labor. Nechshav yayin v'nase yayin nesech. So we will raise questions on that. Tanan. Loiktun gas buta minoivi kechavim. V'afapi shenotal v'nosan v'shenotal biyoda v'nosan letapuach. Our Mishnah taught that you can buy a grape pressing area with pressed grapes, and the Mishnah says even if he handled the wet grapes and placed them on the pile under the beam, it's quite all right. It's, in other words, very simply, the flowing wine does not have a din of wine yet. And therefore, the Mishnah says you're allowed to buy it from them, from the Gentiles. According to Rav Huna, it would seem that once the wine starts to flow, it becomes susceptible to a Yayin Nesech like classification. So the Mishnah is a Kashan Rav Huna. The Mishnah indicates that only once it reaches the bor will there be a problem. Omar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna answers, Begas Kuka Umalea. Literally, this is a gas that's stopped up. It's full and stopped up. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi says Kuka Shepokakoi Hatzinar Al Pi Habor, the pipe leading from the press area to the pit where the juices are accumulated. That pipe is stuffed up. Shelo yuchal leire, that the juices cannot get to the bor. Vehi hoisa kula maleo anovim velo nimshach bo yayin. In addition to the pipe being stuffed up, the press is so jam packed with grapes that the wine exiting the pressed grapes doesn't have a chance to flow. Velo zoz mimkomo. The juices don't leave the site in which the grapes were found. The grapes are located. Ela b'mokom shenischat shom omeid. Rather, where they are squeezed, there it stands. The juices stand. So this answer that Rav Huna is giving is basically saying, if you don't have a flow, then if it's not flowing to the pit, in other words, as of right now, it doesn't even have the ability to get to the pit. It's therefore not classified as wine. The Din of Rav Huna himself spoke about wine grape juices that are flowing, that are in fact flowing from the grapes. Gas Pekuka describes a situation where there is no wine flow. So it seems that from Rav Huna's din, that once there is potential to get to the pit, that's enough to already make it forbidden earlier. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma, Ve'enu oise yayin nesach as sheyere labor. That's the end of the quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah then says very clearly that it does not become yayin nesach until it gets into the pit. And that's not like Rav Huna. Hachanami, so Rav Huna will explain the Mishnah as well. You know why it doesn't become wine until it gets to the pit. Hachanami, begas, pkuka, umle. We're talking about a pressing area that's stopped up. And in the case of the stopped up pressing area, the wine, the juices, aren't able to flow, and certainly not to flow to the pit. However, where you have a situation of wine or of grape juice that's capable of flowing, at that early point, according to Rav Huna, it can become Yayin Nesach. Toshma Yorad Labor, Mashe Besoch, Mashe Bebor, Osir, Vashar Mutar. this source is describing what is a case of pakuk. So it's that which is. Let's go over that again. This source is describing what is considered non-pakuk. So the Mishnah says that if it's yorad labor, ma shebabor osur vashar muter. This is not pakuk, and yet what does it say? It says only when it gets to the bor does it become osur. What are we then saying? If it's not pakuk, according to Rav Huna, what was said? If it's not pokuk, if it's not backed up or sealed up, once it starts to flow, it can become yayin esech. Here we have something that's not pokuk. As after all, it says yorad labor. There's a chance of the wine getting from the press area to the pit, and yet only that which is in the pit is forbidden. But that which remains outside, even though it started to flow already, it remains allowed. Not like Rav Huna said that once it starts to flow, it can become forbidden. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna resolves, lo kasha, kan v'mishnah rishono, kan v'mishnah achrono. There are two stages in the historical development of this topic. According to the earlier approach, that's the Mishnah Rishona, then it will be maintained that only that which is in the pit is forbidden, that which is outside, the Mishnah implied, that which is outside is mutter, even though it may have started to flow. However, Kan, the din of Rav Huna, reflects b'Mishnah Achrona, a later teaching. Now, Rav Huna's din says that even once it starts flowing, even if it hasn't gotten to the bor itself, the pit itself, the wine can become usser. And that's what's called Mishnah Achrona, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. We should also note that this is all part of a long answer, because after raising the most recent triangle, which said Yorad Labor, Mashi Babor, also Rasha Mutter, even though it started to flow already, the wine does not become forbidden through the contact with a goy, that would have seemed to be against Rav Huna's teaching. Because Rav Huna said that once the wine starts to flow from the grapes, it becomes susceptible to becoming Yayin Esef. So the answer to this discrepancy is simply one's an earlier teaching and one's a later teaching. Desanya. So we have a source, and you'll notice in the source we also have a diamonds. They represent the two time periods, the early teaching and the later teaching. Desanya. Borishona hoyu omrim. Badad. This is an abbreviation, and here the Brisa spells it out. Ein boitzrin ima oved kichovim begas. Shosu ligram tumul Eretz Yisrael. The Chulin Shabbos Israel. One is not allowed to harvest with a Gentile in anticipation of placing the harvest in the gas, the wine press area, because by doing so, you are causing Tuma, you are causing Chulin to become Tomei, and there is a prohibition of causing Chulin to becoming impure. The Ein Dorchen im Yisrael Shoisa Peroisa Betuma. Likewise, one is not allowed to press with a Jew who is himself not careful with regard to Tumas and Taras. She Osir the same day of Reaver, because by my doing so I would be aiding a sinner. And since he, the owner, is warned not to cause Tuma Beberes Shabbat Yisrael, I cannot help him in that area. Avol. However, I'd be allowed to trample grapes together with a Gentile in the press. A Gentile is not mitzvah, is not commanded regarding maintenance of the fruits betaro. V'lo chayshinon l'Rav Huna. Rashi says at the bottom, v'lo chayshinon l'Rav Huna l'misrei mishum mistakeh v'isur hano. the thought to maybe forbid him because he would be profiting from working with forbidden material, mishihisli moshech, from the point that it starts to flow, the eno yayin ad sheyered labor. Why is this allowed to press grapes with him? Because we're dealing with the original idea that it does not become wine until it reaches the bor. And that's what this says. Aval dorchen ima oivik hachavim begas v'lo chayshinun l'Rav Huna. And I'm not choshish for Rav Huna's principle that it becomes wine more or less immediately as soon as it starts to flow from the grapes. So here we're saying, even though it's flowing from the grapes, it doesn't become yayin nesach until it reaches the bor. Chazru lomar dabav ein dorchim im ha'ovid kechavim begas. This latter teaching is saying that one is not allowed to press the grapes with the Gentile in the press. As soon as it starts to flow, it's considered wine. And if that be the case, I would then be profiting through Isur Enof from work done on material that is usher to benefit from. This expression is important, says Mishum Rav Huna, namely the prohibition of pressing the grapes together with the Gentile is based on Rav Huna's teaching that it becomes wine as soon as it starts to flow. V'ein botrin im Yisrael shoysen peirosov bituma, and one is not allowed to harvest together with a Jew who himself is not careful with the realm of tumas and taras. The kol shekein shein dorchin, and certainly one is not allowed to press with the Yisrael, with a Jew who is not careful with tum and tara, because in that case I am helping him in his sin. He is mitzuva in keeping things and maintaining that things remain tohar. And if I help him in the process of squeezing the grapes, I'm assisting him in being metame that which is supposed to be kept tohar. I am, however, allowed to join with a Gentile in the harvest of grapes. Shemutur ligrom tuma lechulin shemeres Yisrael. There's a, according to this Tana, I'm allowed to cause tuma to befall chulin in Eretz Yisrael. How can you explain here? We're seeming to say that it's mutur ligrom tuma lechulin shemeres Yisrael, and in the Reisha we restricted work done together with a Jew who's not careful, because this seemed to be forbidden. So the Rashi explains this issue. Rashi, you'll see on the top line, the ein botzrin im Yisrael mishum degorim tuma hu, the afagav the svirlon hashta mutar ligram tuma lechulin kiritoni seifa. Even though we seem to be holding that it's mutar to cause tuma to befall the chulin, as we could see in the Seifa, where it said you're allowed to harvest grapes together with an ovi kachavim, even though he's going to make it tome. Hani mili the ovi kachavim. When do we offer relaxation in the halacha? That's with regard to a Gentile. Aval di Israel, Rashi points out, tevulim heim l'truma. There's a problem with the grapes that have been harvested. They are considered tevel, untithed, with regard to the truma that's in them. V'yosher ligrom tuma l'truma, and it's also to cause tuma to befall truma, which is the tithe given to the kohen. Dichtiv v'ani hinei nasati l'chos v'shmeres trumosai. The pasuk uses the word trumosai, which is a plural expression. B'shtei trumos hakosav medaber. It's talking about two kinds of truma. One is truma gedola, and the other one is trumas meiser. The kol shekein shein dorchin, and certainly there would be a restriction in pressing grapes with them. Shedrichasim mitamosan umaseya yidei over avera. And since we're talking about a Yisrael who's doing this, and he's a Yisrael that's not careful, if I assist him, I'm helping a sinner. So with that, we're able to resolve the seeming discrepancy between Rav Huna and the Mishnah. And how do we resolve that? By citing that the din that only in the bor it's usher, that's the Mishnah Rishona. That's what our Mishnah indicated. However, the din of Rav Huna, that it becomes wine as soon as it starts to flow, that would conform to the Mishnah Shnia, to the Chozru Lomar section, in which we saw that one is not allowed to press grapes together with a Gentile, because as soon as it starts to flow from the grapes, it already takes on a din of Yayin Nesach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.